In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We hear these words from our Lord in response to the Father of these words. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And the Father's response was, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So today I hope we can kind of help our unbelief. We all have that peace in us, right? I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, maybe some of these things can help us believe more deeply. There are two aspects of believing: to believe in God, to believe in Christ, to believe in the Holy Trinity, to believe in the church. That's one aspect, and it's important, in our faith. There's a second aspect of believing that's also critical and must accompany the first. That is to trust or rely on God, to trust Christ, to trust the Father, to trust the Holy Trinity, to trust the church. Trust his word, rely on his presence, depend securely and with conviction upon his promises. So if we say the creed, I believe, how about I trust in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Son. I trust the Holy Spirit. I trust the church. These are all aspects of believing. If it's just to believe, which is important, obviously, is one thing. But to trust is a whole other ballgame. It's to kind of understand that God has me in his hands. He's laid out a salvific plan for my life. I trust that. I trust the Father. I trust the Son. I trust the Holy Spirit. I trust the church. These are important aspects to us. Let's take a look at each of these by looking at three things. One, God is with us, God loves us, and God is saving us. So God is with us. Now, I love that aspect in Great Compline. If you come to Great Compline, I encourage you to do that. God is with us. Understand all you nations and prostrate yourselves. For God is with us. God is with us. It's not distant, he's with us. This is our anchor. This is our hope. For in this we are firmly fixed, although at times we may be shaken, we're not moved. This is our anchor, that God is with us. So, let us look at to experiencing this. Listen to these words of St. Nikolai. It's important. We're constantly outside of ourselves. The Lord wants to return us to ourselves, to our home, to his homeland, for the kingdom of God is within us. This is good. For outside ourselves is a foreign land. You ever feel that way? That foreign land. In order to escape from the foreign land, and find our true home, we must encounter God. We must enter into ourselves, into our hearts. He says, there's the king. There is the kingdom. There's your anchor, right there. You have it. It's not out there. It's right in here. Very powerful. The foundation of belief and anchor is that God is with us. How do we kind of access this? First is in prayer. You know, prayer is a means to an end. In prayer, we draw near to God and dwell with God. It's those words, the prayer itself, helps us move in that direction. So we want to see prayer as an opportunity to turn in. There is the King. There is the kingdom. Very powerful. And we come to church. You know the church speaks. You know when you walk in, you know what the church says to you? God is with us. It has a voice. God is with us. You know, when we were in Isla Vista, it's a great story. Father John Stephen was a good friend of the chancellor, Chancellor Yang. And he came to visit the church. And when he walked into the church, he said, oh, This is not Isla Vista. You're right. It's the kingdom of God. This is not Isla Vista. It's the kingdom of God. The church speaks. Sometimes it screams at you. Listen to it. Take it in. The saints say, if the kingdom is God within us, everything you see is where? In here. Everything you see there is here. Very beautiful. When we come to communion, we encounter God. One of the prayers in preparation for communion says, May I receive a portion of the holy things and be united to the holy body and blood and have thee with the Father and the Holy Spirit dwelling, abiding in me. What happens in communion? You participate in the body and blood of Christ. You have the Father and the Holy Spirit abiding in you. God is in us. A kindly act, just a kindly act, can facilitate that sense of God being with you. A forgiving act. Somebody's offended you, and you forgive them. You touch God in you when you do that. When you're out there in that foreign land because you're not forgiving somebody, forgive them and come back to the homeland. In repentance, you've sinned, I've had trouble in my life, Lord, have mercy on me. I come to God, and in that, I draw near to God. I touch the King. I touch the kingdom. God is with us. So also, to encourage our belief, our trust in God, we must understand that God loves us. Let me just share these words from St. Gregory Nazianzus. Helping us understand how much God loves us. Let us become like Christ, since Christ became like us, because he loves us. I'm adding because he loves us, so that's not him. Let us become gods because of him, since he became man, because he loves us. He who took upon himself a low degree that we might be given a higher one, because he loves us. He became poor that through his poverty we might become rich, because he loves us. He took upon himself the form of a servant that we might be delivered from slavery, because he loves us. He came down that we might be raised, that we may rise up, because he loves us. He was tempted that we might learn to overcome, because he loves us. He was despised that we might be given honor, because he loves us. He died that we might be saved from death, because he loves us. He ascended to heaven that we who lie prone in sin may be lifted up to him, because he loves us. Any questions? Any questions? Does God love you? Yes. He gives us his love and he teaches us to love. First, he loves us and he gave us the gift of loving him back and loving others. St. Nikolai says, loving God and loving others makes us beautiful. Our humanity is made beautiful by loving God and loving others. And I want to share just a little bit of my experience here with a very holy lady, Mother Victoria. She developed a relationship with us here in 1991, and she's that. She's a beautiful woman. You know why? Because she loves God and she loves others. So that's you. I see that in you sometimes. Most of the time. When you love God and love others, you're beautiful, right? And you can feel it. You feel the other side of that many times when you're like angry, upset at somebody else, right? That beauty is kind of tarnished a little bit. So this is our response to God, is to love Him and love others, and then make ourselves beautiful. People love being around beautiful people. You know that, don't you? Like Mother Victoria, just hang around her a little bit. I just love going to be with her. You know, and so when you have that sense of beauty given to you because God loves you and you're loving Him back and you're loving others, that's like a testimony to who God is. You're testifying to this anchor, to this hope that God has given you. So may we be given this opportunity, Lord, to love You and to love others and be a beautiful person for the sake of others, other people. So, God's with us, God loves us, and God's saving us. We're given this life to work out our salvation. In fact, God sets up every day for that purpose. Every circumstance, foreseen or unforeseen, is there for your salvation. Remember that God is with us. He's our strength. When we need strength, He's our foundation. We need to be settled. He's our refuge when we are troubled. He's our deliverer when we're stuck. He helps us to respond. So the prayer really is, help me, Lord, respond every day, to every circumstance of the day virtuously. We actually pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be Thy name. Make this day holy. God doesn't have any trouble keeping His name holy. That's a prayer for you. Hallowed be Thy name. Lord, help me keep Your name holy today, throughout this day, through every circumstance of this day. So, this is our effort, is to continue to work out our salvation that God has given to us every day. So this, to me, it's an encouraging thing. It's if we can see life as, today's an adventure. God has laid out a plan for my salvation. And He's given me this opportunity to respond to each part of my day virtuously. It's better than a video game. This is like reality. This is like every moment God's given me an opportunity to respond in a virtuous way to everything that comes my way. Aren't you excited? That's good. And He's given you the strength to do it, right? I mean, strength, your refuge, your deliverer, your foundation. He's all those things for you. Not only has He's given you all the energy and the capability to respond virtuously, but He's laid out this day for you. So we need to fight for this. So there were two specific things that were mentioned by the Lord, ascetic practices emphasized in the gospel to give us power, to aid us to live this holy life. What were those two things? Prayer, fasting. But listen to these words of St. John, because this is very helpful. Because it's not like we make a deal with God, like, okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast, and so I get what I want. That's not how God works, right? I pray and I fast. Why was He saying this? Listen to these words of St. John Chrysostom. For he was praying as he ought and fasting as his fasting has not many wants. And he has not many wants cannot be covetous. He who is not covetous will also be more disposed to almsgiving, to be more generous. He who fasts is light in wind and prays with wakefulness. Praise fervently, praise effectively. Praise according to the will of God. And he quenches his wicked lusts and propitiates God, draws God near, and humbles his soul when lifted up. He prays with fasting, has his wings doubled. And lighter than the very wind. So what's the deal here? Prayer and fasting gives you a healthy soul. That's the difference. the apostles weren't right in their soul. That's why they couldn't cast out the demon. So the point here is that when we pray and fast, something is happening to us. Our soul is healthier. It's closer to God. So, it's not prayer and fasting in and of themselves, but what prayer and fasting produce. They produce a healthy soul that helps us sail the sea of this present life. Casting out the enemies and hindrances are salvation. So that we, during this Lent, may come to the haven, celebrating with great joy the resurrection of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. We'll say it louder later. But it's sitting right there for you, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.